We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ready? Good morning, and thank you for joining us. My name is Tyrell Forward, Voice Buffalo. I'm the lead organizer. We are here to talk about long-term solutions, how to bring money into our community to reinvest in our community and grow even stronger than what it once was. We need funders to come and support opening grocery stores and things of that nature. I know everybody's here probably want to see Reverend Denise speak, but she is with the families. It is a tragic time, and they need as much comfort and support as possible. So we'll be talking long-term solutions that will directly affect our community for the long, sustainable future. So our first speaker up is Deacon Jerome, and he's our vice chair of Voice Buffalo.
Thank you. Before I speak, I think it's only fitting that we take a moment of silence in honor and memory of the first funeral that is taking place as we speak right now. Deacon Haywood Patterson's funeral is commencing as we're talking, and I would like us to just take a moment and remember him, the other nine people lost, and the three wounded, but also a community that is grieving and mourning. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're talking about long-term solutions. Let's talk about the long-term problem at first. And although the gunman, the cowardly murderer in this case, has been apprehended, the real killer, racial disparities, white supremacy, institutional, structural and internalized racism is still on the loose. So one of the things we have to do is first acknowledge that and recognize that until we deal with those problems there, the foundation of what this issue is about, then we cannot move forward.
That's right.
And although we grieve and mourn as a community, we still expect that if you want to do something for us, bring resources to this community. And I'm not talking about these food handouts, which are great. Yeah. I'm not bemoaning that. But this community needs more services than fresh fruits and vegetables being handed out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need institutions that we helped build this country up, supermarket chains, box stores. Uh-huh. We need them coming here like we got the Bills, the Sabres, and everybody else coming down here to visit. The long-term solution is not having a single place that anybody can come to in our community and know they're going to inflict massive carnage because that's all we have.
That's right.
I'm telling you now, there are people clamoring to open this store right away. Everybody is not in agreement with that.
Yeah.
That place should be a memorial to the lives lost.
Uh-huh.
It should be a memorial to those wounded. It should be a memorial to a community that has been under attack.
Yeah.
And we should build another TOPS right in the same community. But sending family members and workers back into that same place where people, their families was massacred, is the height of insensitivity to me. You wouldn't do it anywhere else. You didn't build the World Trade Towers back up. You didn't do any of those schools. You didn't open them back up. But when it comes to our community, you want to open it up as soon as possible. Yeah. That is part of the long-term solution. Bringing resources and not forcing us to relive the carnage, the massacre of our people that just happened almost a week ago. Resources mean not just pouring money in. We need mental health people who look like us,
right,
who understand us,
right,
and who know where we're coming from.
That's right.
Unlike the whoever the mental health person who saw that murderer and thought it was all right to release him less than 24 hours later. That would have never happened if the person looked like me or many of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We would have been held minimum 72-hour hold. And getting a gun afterwards?
Come on now.
Yeah, we can't even get a gun now. So we need long-term solutions. We're telling you, come to us for the solutions. You cannot find the solutions to our problems. Our problems are resources and the lack thereof. Bring this community resources. All you big stores, ShopRite, all you mega stores, you should be clamoring for a community that's hurting,
yeah,
but for a community that's in need. This food apartheid has got to end.
Yeah.
Like we ended apartheid in South Africa, we're going to end it here in the east side of Buffalo.
Thank you, Deacon Jerome. Our next speaker is Rabbi John.
I want to emphasize how struck we are in this community by this tragedy, that it is our tragedy altogether, and we must be here for one another. This is not some other neighborhood. This is all of us. This is a national tragedy taking place in Buffalo. It is a national problem taking place here in Buffalo, and I'm a white guy. What do I have to say about this except showing up? We need to show up. We need to stop asking our black brothers and sisters how to solve racism. Trust me, if they knew, they would have solved it.
Right. Come on.
What we need to do is show up and be there, to be a presence, to be a good neighbor, to center this neighborhood and say, I got up this morning and I went shopping in my co-op next to my Dash's in my neighborhood and brought milk home to my family. But where is that in this community? Why isn't Lexington Co-op open here on the east side?
Amen. Amen.
Why isn't there a Wegmans open here on the east side?
Amen.
Wegmans is a Western New York company, famous for here in Buffalo. And where are they here in Buffalo? Where are they here in Buffalo? So if you're a white person and you're asking, what can I do? Listen, show up and be present. Be here for our people. We are in this together. This is a war.
Yeah.
This is a war. Our neighborhood is under attack. We, as Reverend Sharpton pointed out, can send billions of dollars to Ukraine. We can send millions of dollars to Orchard Park for a stadium. And where is the investment in our community so that we have a supermarket? A supermarket! And it's not even Pastor Jonathan Staples here in town at First Shiloh said, it's not even a good supermarket. This is not like the top tops in town. So let's invest. Are you a white person who wants to help? Come here and say, hey, there's a plot here. Let's put in a supermarket here and do venture capital here in the east side of Buffalo. Because we could do that. We could do that, but we don't. So if this is your neighborhood, if this is a city of good neighbors, be a good neighbor. Show up, be present, make friends with our neighbors because they need us and we need them. We are in this together. As somebody once said, we are not all in the same boat, but we are in the same storm.
Yeah.
My boat is next to a supermarket. But I'm here on Jefferson Avenue understanding that my boat's going to sink if this one does too. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is our Faith in Action Regional Director, Whitney Walker.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Whitney Walker, and I serve Faith in Action as their Northeast Regional Director. Faith in Action is the largest interfaith institution for community organizing in our country. But on today, Buffalo is my home and has been for the past 15 years. On that Saturday afternoon, I was just trying to get some vitamin D that we're so often depraved of when I got a phone call that there was a mass shooting at a grocery store that's just a few miles from where I live. And it was myself and the executive director of Voice Buffalo who, when they had gathered a bus in the pouring rain for families to figure out what their fates would be on the worst day of their lives, the only pastor that got on that bus was Reverend Denise Walden. The only clergy that showed up to that school and waited until the midnight hour was Voice Buffalo clergy. Not all of who are here because they're burying their neighbors on this morning. But I want to tell you the truth about my home, the place that is so dear to my heart. It is the third poorest city in the nation. It is the fourth most racist city in the nation. And we've gone from the sixth to now being the fifth most segregated city in the nation. And so when our elected officials want to express their surprise and their shock that a mass murderer came into our community, I can't be surprised. The fact that Jefferson Avenue is open this morning, not a full week after what has happened, is not a surprise. The fact that this space is being held, the only space that's being held, we have to now empty out our library, another safe space, because this is the only place where we can gather the employees who were pushing women and children out of the way and hiding babies in coolers so that they could live to see another day, and they're traumatized, and some of them will never be able to work again. And this is their space to be, but they have to look across the street and not see it blocked off. That's my home. That's Buffalo strong. That's one Buffalo. That's Buffalo love. My home is not one community. We had to have expected this. But we cannot allow this to continue. We cannot allow the dominant narrative to rule our lives. That grocery store is more than a grocery store. Yeah. It's a place where people pay their utilities. Yeah. It's a place where people access their accounts at Citizens Bank. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's part of their neighborhood. And yet it's the most expensive grocery store, as others have said. And so we, the faith leaders of community, are not going to stand for intentional inequity and genocide of our people and our neighbors. We must organize. So as Faith in Action, as Buffalo, as Voice Buffalo, we must organize, and we will be here for the long haul. We're glad that you're all here today, but after the cameras, after the funerals, after they open that top so they have no business opening, as our children continue to go to school, begging their parents not to let them go to school because they are terrified. We need resources in our community by the people who are working with our neighbors, because nothing about us without us is for us. Amen. That's all I have to say. Thank y'all for being here. Blessings to you.
Thank you, Whitney. That's just a shining example that we are a community that is strong and emboldened to push forward. So the next speaker I'm going to bring up is Kelly Camacho, and she's with our partner organization, Citizen Action.
Hello, everyone. So I'm Kelly Camacho. My pronouns are she, her, ella, and I'm a community organizer with Citizen Action. I've lived in Buffalo my entire life. Everything from my first steps to my prom pictures took place off Bailey Avenue in my family's home. I'm one of the 280,000 people that live in this city. I've received texts, phone calls, and DMs asking how I'm doing, and each time I tell people I'm okay, I'm just too exhausted to tell the truth. The truth is, I'm absolutely devastated. Not only did we experience a community trauma, but we are suffering ongoing threats. I've had to arm myself with the knowledge that every time I might walk out the door, my family might walk out the door, my friends might walk out the door, they might be at risk of added violence just because of the pigment of our skins. We even saw Gregory C. Foster II, an Attica correctional officer, joke about the black lives lost in this community. While suspended, he still has a job. If he can joke about the lives that were lost by being gunned down in a grocery store, he has absolutely no business guarding the black lives in prison.
No business.
We need to eliminate any possibility of him abusing his power in the prison system. You need to fire him today. I don't want any more thoughts and prayers. Allies, if thoughts and prayers are all you can offer this community during this time, you are a part of the problem.
Yeah,
if you are a white ally telling black and brown people how to show up in this moment and how to feel in this moment, then you are a part of the problem.
Yeah,
if you feel so strongly about what happened, but you can't name any of the members of the community lost, then you are a part of the problem. Geraldine, Catherine, Pearl, Aaron, Celestine, Hayward, say their names. Say their names and understand that the whole time we were shouting Black Lives Matter, we just wanted the system that is abusing us to stop murdering us.
Yeah.
Silence and inaction have co-signed this system of white supremacy.
Yes.
We need to put Buffalo's budget vote on hold so community members have an adequate amount of time to process their grief and then come forward with the solutions that they want. We need multiple, low-cost, healthy option grocery stores in every neighborhood.
Yeah. Yes.
We need to divest from the same police that shoot unarmed black people and knock over old men cracking their skulls, all while allowing a mass shooter to disarm himself. We need to protect our reproductive rights so we can control our own futures. We need investment in childcare, healthcare, climate, housing, ending mass incarceration. We need politicians to stop being so afraid of our solutions just because they don't look the way that things have always been done.
Yes.
Lastly, I need poor white folks to rise up with us. You have a lot more in common with the poor black and brown folks that you see in front of you than you will ever have with the rich white folks that you see on TV. Racism is a tool used by the elite to make sure we're so busy fighting each other that we don't have time to take on the poverty cycle.
Yes. Right.
Finally, I would like to address the terrorist that perpetrated this act and cowards just like him. I will not use their name because I will not contribute to them getting famous.
Right.
Your ideas are not new. You wrote a manifesto that shows how mediocre you are, regurgitating ideas like replacement theory that have been normalized by the white, racist bigots and sellouts on Fox News. Our ancestors had to fight people like you every day of our lives, and now people like you sport military fatigues and guns in place of your cloaks and your ropes. The modern lynching you brought to this community has activated a lot of pissed off black and brown leaders. We see you. We see how angry you have become at us because you want to hate yourself, but you're just not brave enough to do it. We won't leave here hating you because you aren't worth the emotional energy that we have. We will leave here doing everything in our power to make sure that our community, our babies, our mothers, our caregivers, our neighbors, our loved ones continue to grow from this moment. All power to the people.
I don't know how you follow up after that one, but we're going to move forward. Our next speaker, Jill Hernandez with Free the People of Western New York.
I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. We all are sick and tired of being sick and tired. The fact that the Common Council is slated to vote on the city budget today at 2 p.m. for a special session says enough about what this city is and has been for a really long time. So I completely agree with Kelly Camacho that this is no surprise whatsoever. This is embedded racism in our policies, in our practices, in how this city is governed, and how our people are continued to be hunted. If we have elected officials that can come in and out, high-profile officials, celebrities that can come in and out of this community without leaving without any real commitments, what does that say about Buffalo? Yeah. When I think of the city of good neighbors, I think of our people. I think of those that are here and those that are not here because they're out there distributing food, diapers, all the things that this community needs that has been happening prior to this and is just being fortified in this moment. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing happening today and throughout the city all these years is not okay. And so I call on the current administration of the city of Buffalo to enact Section 4.1 to call an emergency order. Mayor Byron Brown has done this before with COVID to pause the city budget process. And yet, 6 days after a mass murder, we have not heard talks of an emergency order by elected officials. Yet, less than 12 hours ago, what we did hear from a Facebook post from the Buffalo Common Council Facebook is that they will hold a special session today at 2 p.m. to vote on this budget. That, may I say, includes $5.4 million of increase to the police budget, including $364,000 for ShotSpotter, a faulty technology that has been enacted in our sister city, Rochester, New York, and has caused deaths right in our backyard. But yet our elected officials and our Common Council are really considering putting in place ShotSpotter. That does not sit right in any cell of my body. And it shouldn't sit right with anybody else, especially after what we experienced just 6 days ago.
Yeah.
It hasn't even been a week. Mm-hmm. And so if you call yourself an elected official, if you've been voted in by the people of Buffalo, if you have a duty to represent constituencies in districts within the city of Buffalo, I urge you to call an emergency order. Mm-hmm. Give people the right amount of time to grieve. Give people the right amount of time to provide community input as to what are the long-term solutions and the resources that we can actually back.
Not for us, but with us.
This $5.4 million increase to the police budget can go to so many other resources. We should not have to be coming out of our pockets, making so little money already within the city of Buffalo to make sure that our people are fed. But that is the city of good neighbors that I know.
Come on.
The fact that people keep coming into our city, trying to see what they can do. Our people are doing what we can do because we're so used to our officials not doing that. Wow. And that's not right.
It's not right.
And so if you're able, I urge you to call your Common Council today, before 2 o'clock, tell them do not vote yes on ShotSpotter. Tell them to vote no on the $5.4 million police budget increase.
Yeah.
Tell them to urge the mayor and call the mayor yourself to urge him to enact Section 4.1 to call an emergency order. Even before this massacre, the community only had 4 days, including 2 days of weekend, to weigh in on this racist budget.
Wow.
That was not enough time then. It's not enough time now. But it's been the case with the city budget and with city processes for way too long. And so if you're mad, if you're angry, if you're sad, if you feel hopeless, if you feel anything that is darkness because of this moment, as we should, also dwell in the light that there are people here that are so committed to these, to our people and to these communities, and we are calling you to action. I don't want any more DMs. Like Kelly said, are you okay? No, we're not okay. And you shouldn't be either. You shouldn't be either with just mediocre actions from far away. Listen to Black and Brown leaders, community members, clergy, residents, and do the right thing. call an emergency order, and let's actually get to planning as to what are the long-term solutions that are already taking place and put those resources behind that. Yeah. Over-policing and over-surveillance of our communities will not do anything for us. Right. It will kill us, continue to kill us. The city budget is a reflection of the moral and ethics of our community, yeah, of our city governance. It's been racist and rooted in white supremacy for far too long.
Right.
Infrastructure like that is what gave way for this terrorist to come into our communities, for this terrorist to actually be able to search up what are the most blackest communities in this region. And he came up with this one. Why is that? The east side of Buffalo, we know, has been disenfranchised and disinvested on for so long, but yet we see a new building up every day. Mm. And that's not for us. Mm. It's not by us. Mm-mm. Our people are being pushed out continuously. Mm. Gentrification is not diversity. It's massacre. And so I urge all of you to do something about it. Show up at city council chambers today at 2 p.m. Call your city council member. Call the mayor. We need an emergency order, and we need it now.
Thank you, Jill. I'm going to call our next speaker is our faith leader, Pastor Cook. He had to go to the funeral. So our next speaker is actually a community member, Michael Roberts.
I just want to take a moment of silence and say, for the people that lost their life to this coward that did this. Thank you. Oh, man. I don't know where to begin. We should begin with holding all government officials, elected officials, everybody accountable for this, because if this would have happened in somebody else's neighborhood, it would have been a bill signed yesterday. Yeah. In a white neighborhood, it would have been a bill signed yesterday. If a bunch of black people would have stormed the Capitol building, it would have been a bill signed yesterday for hate crime. We did.
That's real, brother.
That's real. I lost a family member in here. This hurts every day. I come down here, spend time at this memorial, and they trying to open this store again to people that don't even want to walk in this store. Who want to do that? This is trauma. And how do you have police out here policing a community that's grieving during time like this? You can't stand in the street. You can't do, they telling you what you can't do while you're grieving for your family. Right. And they don't even from this neighborhood. They drive 20 miles into work and 20 miles home. They don't care about us. If they care about us, they would be out here every night. Without the cameras showing, they should be out here putting flowers down, lighting the candles that's out here for the people that passed away. They don't care, though. They at home sleeping. You know why? Because they got protection. Mayor Brown got protection. The governor got protection. Joe Biden got protection. All the protection they had out here, we don't have protection when we walk into the store. We have to be worried about getting gunned down because of our skin color. We didn't actually be black. We didn't actually be our skin color when we got birthed into. The longevity plan I want to see, man, is a bill signed like today from every government, elected officials everywhere all over the world. They should sign a bill for hate crime today. It should not be tomorrow. It should not be next week. It should be today, because guess what? If this don't happen today, it will keep happening in other cities. Like last night in Minneapolis, all them people got shot. How do you keep letting this go on in different parts of the country and you think it's okay?
It is not okay. It is not okay. Our next speaker is one of our leaders, Aaliyah Williams.
I still remember very clearly the conversation I had with my mother when she told me about this terrorist attack. I was on my way to the mall. It was a Saturday, so that's usually my normal routine. She called me and asked me, where was I? I told her my location, and then she told me what happened. I could see and hear the worry in her voice, because Tops on Jefferson is what I would consider to be my Tops. I only live a couple minutes away from there. I frequent that store a couple times a week, My father frequents that store a couple times a week, and many of my family members do as well. My first thought was in disbelief. For there to be a terrorist attack in my city, it didn't make sense to me. For there to be a terrorist attack on my people, it didn't make sense to me. My second thought was, what do we do now? I knew that our community's mental health was significantly important. And after the attack, I wondered, what can I do? So with that being said, Voice Buffalo has partnered with a few organizations to host a night of healing. It's going to be tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. We know that healing and therapy isn't always traditional, and as Black people, we heal through movement, we heal through arts, so there will be some yoga instructors there, as well as boxing instructors. There will be some painting, as well as African drumming. Again, it's going to be tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. on Jefferson Avenue. All are welcome. There will be food as well, and there will be Black therapists available walking around being with the community. So everyone who is healing, especially everyone who is from the 14208 and the 14209 zip code, I welcome you all to come, eat, celebrate life, be Black joy, and be happy, because we deserve that.
Yeah.
I know this is a tragedy, and we're all gonna have to heal from it, but in this moment, we owe it to ourselves to smile. We owe it to ourselves to laugh. We owe it to ourselves to dance. I hope to see you all tonight.
I want to bring on one last speaker, and then we'll open up for questions. This person is a boots on the ground. She is doing a lot of good work in our community, Jolanda Hill.
How's everybody doing? My name is Jolanda Hill. I represent an organization called Color Girls Bike 2, but whatever. I'm just here today to really talk about the need for systems change in Buffalo. So I've been emphasizing that a lot, and other folks have. How do we use this moment to not only grieve, but also to shift power and to change systems? Because while it's really, really great that, you know, the east side of Buffalo is getting so much attention right now, and the needs of folks in this community are, you know, being met, I don't know what our community will look like 2 months from now or 3 months from now. And so my goal, at least, is to ensure that using this moment as well to shift, change systems and to shift power. So what that looks like is moving resources to the community organizations, Black and brown community organizations that have been in this work, have been doing this work long before the cameras came here, and long before this tragedy happened.
Yes.
We know what our communities need the most.
Yeah.
And I've worked at community organizations for the past several years, just seeing how so much money is funneled into them for initiatives that are not meeting the most urgent needs of the people.
Yeah.
And so I think that we really need to use this moment to call foundations to the table and say that we're no longer accepting the wordplay, but we need to see the dollars so that we can invest in our communities and insulate our communities. Like food deserts, all of these different things can be addressed if you give the people who know what the community needs the most the money. So we're asking for systems change. We're asking for the powers to shift to the people that we, all of the leaders behind us actually, that we know that can do this work and that are qualified to do this work. And so that's what I wanted to say. I am also grieving and haven't had a chance to fully grieve, but my heart, and my love, and I'm sending so much healing energy and love to the families of the loved ones, of the people that, the lives that were lost on Saturday. So thank you very much.
So if we have any questions for any speakers.
Deacon,
talk toward the pain that the reopening of the TOPS on the current footprint on site is causing in the community?
I think you heard somebody else talk about there are people who would not go back in there if their life depended on it because they feel like their life may end the same way this happened. There are workers who can't go back in there. They hid in a cooler. They were understuffed. They were fearing for their lives. Why would you want to put somebody back in that trauma? That is the most traumatic, and they're suffering survivor's remorse. Let's get this clear. Many of those are asking, why did I live and that one die? They're trying to find their purpose. They're trying to find out what this whole thing is about, and you want to send them back into the place that caused the trauma? What mental health DSM volume you get that from? Anybody with a mental health knows that you don't re-traumatize people by inflicting the same traumatic experience on them. You can't clean the DNA that's in there. There's no super cleaning to do that. And you got to understand, people lost their parents in there, their siblings. They lost close family members. This is not something that happened to somebody else. This is something that happened to members in this community. Why would I want to walk across that threshold again? Why am I not always thinking that if they targeted it once, this idiot coward, then there's another idiot coward out there that they ain't caught that, or they let slip through the cracks, which is the new phrase. They slip through the cracks while we get cracked.
Come on.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody wants to go back in there. You're going to have people say, well, the community wants it open. The community want the resources. Yeah. The building means nothing right now. The food, the services, cashing, lotto, all of that stuff happens in there. That should be happening in multiple places. Nobody should be able to Google where I can kill the most black people and come up with a TOPS in Buffalo. That shouldn't happen. But if the resources were here, let me tell you this. I've only been here 13 years, but this is my home.
Yeah.
These are my people. And I can tell you, in that 13 years, I've watched this city grow, but not the east side.
Come on.
I watched downtown grow. I watched the outer harbor grow. I watched the medical corridor grow so much that they kicked some of us out of there.
Come on.
We can do all that, but you want to send us back in? Let me ask you, when they knocked the World Trade Center down, did they build them back up to show the world we ain't afraid that we strong? No, they made a memorial out of that. Those schools where them shoots was at, did they open them back up? They send them kids to other schools. Any place where there was mass carnage in this country and had to do something with somebody that didn't look like me, they memorialized it and sent them somewhere else so the trauma's not there. There's memorial there. But here, we trying to open it as soon as possible. They ain't even get the bullet holes out of the walls yet.
Come on.
You gonna make a new facade? Because the glass in the window you could put up. What about the holes in the wall? The chips from the automatic weapons? You gonna fix that too? What you gonna do? What you gonna do with that? I gotta walk by that? My son has special needs. And we go to that TOPS to do his recycling. That's how he makes his money. There, but for the grace of God, I would have been there that day with my son going to do his recycling. I don't want to go there no more. I don't want to go there no more. How many of y'all want to go in there?
No.
We don't want to go in there. We want the resources that's been taken out of there by us not having that. Let me tell you something. The communities who have the lowest crime, who don't have the least problems, they have the most resources.
That's it.
The communities like ours have the least resources, get what we get now. Handouts and hope. We don't need handouts. We don't need hope. We need change.
There it is.
In this country, we figured out during this pandemic that if we trust people with resources, we solve poverty. If we give people money who are struggling with poverty, we alleviate poverty. This is about resources and trust. And you are right. No one should be forced to go into that building again. No one would be forced to walk on the bloody floors to go
buy groceries again. No one should be forced to bring their son back into that space again. And it's not like it was a great space.
To begin with.
We need more resources for the East Side. We need more resources for people struggling for resources. This is about trust. We need to trust the people who are struggling with the resources to stop struggling. Somehow or another, we got this idea that rich white people know what to do with money, but poor people don't.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
No, it ain't. Give me some.
That's right.
And I'll show you what to do with it.
Buy food.
No, take care of my community.
Take care of your community. Right. Not put it away in some investment that earns you money and nobody else. Mm. Sorry.
If they don't open the pops back
yes.
up, what do we do in the interim? Because, I mean, even if they broke ground today on a new Wegmans in this area, it would still be months away. What do you do in the interim for people that you rely on?
Just how, like, how they're giving all this money to everybody that's hurting right now? Why can't you build a Tops or a new store just like that? You're giving all this money to everybody that's grieving or anything? You could just build a Tops that quick. It's not, if it was in a different community, that Tops would not be open. That would not be in their statement. That would not even be in their order of doing it. The mayor said, hey, the president want to open up the Tops soon as possible yesterday, but the president said he don't even have a time plan. How is the leadership of our city telling us what somebody else that he don't even know what he's going to do? You know why? Because he don't care. You know why? Because he don't have to walk these streets. He say he walked these streets. The governor says he walked these streets. You don't see these people walking these streets on a daily basis. They don't come through the East Side. They only come through here when they have to meet in with people and leave. They don't care about our people. If they care, they'll be out here every day. You know why they're not out here? Because there's no more big media, no more cameras, no nothing. They are downtown City Hall trying to pass a budget that is going to mess our community up and take us, diverse us more. They don't care about us. If they care about us, they will be helping us and have bills and structure in place right now to stop this hate crime. This is hate. He's a coward. He should never did that. How do you wake up and just want to take out people that don't, like black people? How do you do that? It don't make sense to me, man.
Listen, during the pandemic, we watched hospitals be built overnight. We have the technology. We got the manpower. We could do the greatest country in the world. You're telling me you can't build a temporary structure to have food and things that people need until they finish a complete brick and mortar place? That's not true. That is a fallacy. So let me tell you this. This is an analogy. So a person is being battered in their home, right? They're traumatized in their home. Do you say, well, let's leave them to the home till we get another house for them? No, you get them out of there to stop the trauma, to stop the pain, to stop the injury. Why are we not doing that? You're bringing food down here every day. Don't stop that.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep doing that until we get the brick and mortar done. But don't send people back. Why would you do? I'm telling you now. See, you don't have to go to that store. You don't got to go. I got to go. If that's the only one here, that's where I got to go. And I don't feel safe going in there like a lot of people don't.
So I want to add, and then Queen Jelana's going to add, there are already two family resource centers open, but I also want us to use our imagination. If this had happened in Williamsville or Orchard Park, there would be no question. There's already Instacart, Lyft. Voice of Buffalo right now is arranging right now with Instacart, but Lyft is already set up to shuttle and to take people. But we also have people that, like it's been expressed over and over again, that are so traumatized and triggered that they can't leave their homes. I promise you, if this would have happened in Williamsville District or in Orchard Park District, they would keep those services going and they would have them funded for the next several months. And the people who are elderly or have special needs, uniquely abled, or are too traumatized to leave their home would have home delivery for just as long, if not longer. It would become a new norm because that's how those communities are set up to respond and have resources to do that. But again, it's systemic. We are already in the throes of a neighborhood that is structurally and systemically dismantled, under-resourced, repressed, and we have two family resource centers. The lines are going around the building, and they're not even serving the people at Tops. And so now we're scrambling. mourning and grieving and scrambling to how to feed our brothers and sisters. It should not be. It should not be. I was in a meeting until after 8 o'clock last night with parents, that the people that are parents and have spouses and have families to go home to, because we're racking our brains about how do we get these resources to people. And I was just so heartbroken. I said, we would not have to figure this out on our own if this had just happened 25 miles north somewhere. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
You don't have to be sorry. I just wanna mention that if you look around the East Side, there's a bunch of vacant buildings, right? We have mad entrepreneurs behind us, like people that wanna start businesses, wanna start food stores, holistic stores, all of that. You have Feed Buffalo, you have the African-American Heritage Food Co-op. So we're starting, we just don't have the resources to open up shop. Right now you have Alex Wright doing a fundraiser, right? Trying to raise money to get a building to go back up, right? And that's cool, but it's taking a lot of his time and resources to pool that money when it should be much easier to do that. It should be much easier for any black or brown person that wants to open a grocery store in their community to do that. And it's not easy because, as you said, folks don't trust black folks with money. Trust white rich folks with money to then hopefully it funnels down into our community and create change. And we know Reaganomics, right, don't work. So we need to get the money actually to the people. We need to get people the money, give them the financial counselors or whatever to budget and take whatever, all of those different things, but we need all of the resources and we can do it ourselves. We don't need white saviors coming into our communities to help save us.
Come on.
I just want to say that.
So we won't be taking any further questions, but I want to say this. We can call on the mayor because he has the power to help these places bring sustainable grocery stores temporarily, bring in the refrigerators that they need. So we can do that. We need to call on the mayor, city council, to invest in our community, not just for a couple of days. We need long-term solutions. But I would like to thank everybody that came out today. This was very powerful, and we are all community, and we all are united. So thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.